for Fantasy Football Weekly on The Fan. Presented by Grainbelt Premium and Devonnie's. Your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy football speculation and advice. Fantasy Football Weekly is brought to you by Fanball.com, Town Hall Family, Greater Twin Cities Honda Dealers, Joe Sensors, Hudson Ford, and by Park Tavern. Now, along with Fanball.com's Scott Fish, Matt Harrison, and Brian Johnson, here's The Fan's Paul Charchian.
Good morning. Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly on The Fan. My co-hosts today, Scott Fish and Matt Harrison. Good morning.
Hi.
It helps if you turn your mic
good
on.
Good morning.
Radio professionals.
my mic is on.
All right. Well, maybe it helps to speak into the mic. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe.
I have an extra bounce in my step because of the Guillotine League.
Oh, so fun.
It was all speculation until now, but now it's real. We've had the first week in the Guillotine League, and it was so exciting. So as a very quick reminder for people who don't recall the premise of the Guillotine League, every week we have start with 17 teams, and every week the bottom scoring team gets lopped off, they're done, and the roster goes to free agency. So in my draft, I decided to, never having done one, who has, I decided to implement a strategy that was almost entirely predicated on safe players, and that means non-running backs, so that I wouldn't end up with a bunch of high-risk players and get knocked out early, and then I'd hit the waiver wire hard for running backs early and just spend my money early on running backs. Leonard Fournette's team got cut. They were out in week one.
It was a celebrity who hit the skids in our league, too.
It was.
Local celebrity Randy Shaver.
Oh, I wasn't going to out him.
Oh, I outed him.
And his team lost. Stephon Diggs went to the waiver wire. Yep. Leonard Fournette went to the waiver wire. Deshaun Watson went to the waiver wire.
One of these weeks.
You can't get Deshaun Watson's name right, no matter how hard you try.
At least he keeps with Texans, like DeAndre and Arian Foster.
That is generally true. It was thrilling. And I agonized about how much to bid on Fournette because he fits directly into my strategy.
So $1,000 fab.
I have $1,000 fab to spend all year long. I put in 620 of it on Fournette, knowing that I might not even get him this week. I could get bounced out this week because my running backs aren't that good. And I just picked up Fournette, and I'm very nervous about starting him this week, as you'll hear more about later. I could end up losing, and Fournette could hit the waiver wire twice in 2 weeks.
Maybe Fournette's the cursed child.
Maybe it's going to work that way.
Every team that gets him
gets
cut.
I haven't been this sort of re-energized about fantasy football. And I always love it, but this is just so new and cool and different. I love it. And all these people tweeting at me about, what players got knocked out of their leagues and how much their bidding is and everything. Oh, it's just a blast.
I had several people asking, are you guys going to write an article on what I should bid on Todd Gurley in my Guillotine? Well, no, because we'd have to write an article literally on every player in the entire NFL.
Exactly. I want to be sure to thank our decade-long sponsor, Grainbelt Premium, the official beer of fantasy football. Do not forget to play the Crush Charge Challenge at grainbelt.com. And as always, many thanks to our friends at the brewery. That's Sean Ryan and Brett Moss and Lee Windiger and the owners, Ted and Jody Marty, and all the great people in New Ulm. We love the Crush Charge Challenge. You can play that now. It's free. You can win $2,000 and be part of our winner's banquet at Manny's in January. Let's dive into the matchups, beginning with the Browns taking on the Saints. Scott, I've got to believe that the Saints defense plays a lot closer to the group that we saw for 17 games last year than the group that got obliterated by Stewbeard last week.
It has to, right?
That's has to.
The complete anomaly. It's like they were still in preseason form or something. On the Browns passing game side, I'm going to talk about Tyrod Taylor in the next segment, so I'm just going to skip over him for a second here.
Okay.
Jarvis Landry. I'm giving him an A grade. He had 15 targets last week.
15.
And we talked about in the preseason how much they were targeting him. I think he's pretty matchup proof. So I'm just giving him an A grade and moving on.
Yeah. But where do those 15? Who gets impacted by him getting 15? Josh Gordon.
It could be.
Right, Gordon had four targets.
He only had four targets, but one was an end zone target. Mm-hmm. And I think without the wind.
That was a sweet catch, by the way. Did you see that?
It was. Without the wind in a dome, I like Gordon a little bit better, even though he might get some Marshawn Lattimore treatment for some of the game. I think he played 69 snaps last week after they wanted to put him on a pitch count, which did not happen. But I still give Gordon a B grade. I think he's primed for a big touchdown at some point during this game, potentially, and I think that could save his day. Njoku, on the other hand, I'm benching. Seven targets last week, did not do much. Brayton Howard didn't do much against the Saints last year. Saints were top five against tight ends last year, only allowing two tight ends over 50 yards. I'm just benching Njoku. I'm benching Duke Johnson again. I correctly called that last week.
Nice job.
I still think he's a bench this week.
Why?
Mostly because the Saints are middle of the pack against pass-catching running backs. But I think the game script is going to go away from this. And Hyde can catch, and they gave Hyde 23 touches. I think Duke Johnson's involvement, his snap percentage is just not where I want to see it. He did have six targets, but it just wasn't able to do anything with them. Carlos Hyde, that's why I'm giving him a C grade. I actually don't like the matchup here. The Saints were middle of the pack against running backs in many categories, but they had a top five showing against running backs in week one. Maybe that's Barber. But the 23 touches that Hyde gets, I don't know that he gets that this week, but they want to give him volume. I think he's startable because of that volume.
Hyde only averaged, 2.5 yards per carry last week?
Right, but he does get all the red zone carries, too. Yeah,
that helps.
He was top
five. Even though Nick Chubb, in theory, should be billed for it.
I know,
but he's
right?
just been so invisible.
Yeah exactly.
Yeah.
I believe he only had three touches last week. And Hyde was top five in the NFL in touches inside the five last year. On the Saints side, Breeze is an easy A for me here. Ben Roethlisberger was able to put up 335 and few touchdowns last week. The Browns were sixth worst against fantasy quarterbacks last year. And against bottom seven pass defenses, Breeze averaged 324 yards per game last year. So,
all right.
Like that, like his guy, Michael Thomas, who had 8 for 90 yards in each half last.
Yeah, how about that?
Symmetrical perfection there. And Juju and Brown crushed the Browns last week. A for Thomas. I'm only giving Ginn a C. He's coming in possibly injured. He should play, though. Cleveland middle of the pack against wide receivers last year, but we saw Juju and Brown do it. So I think Ginn is startable. Watson is where first off, Kamara, obvious A.
Obvious.
Yeah, just move on. Ben Watson, love it. I told you to pre-spec pick him up for this matchup last week. Browns were bottom four against tight ends last year. They've allowed 12 different tight ends to score or top 60 yards in the last 17 games.
Jesse James had 60 yards on the Browns last week.
Exactly. So they're bottom three in receptions and touchdowns allowed to tight ends last year. I actually have Watson as, weirdly, an A grade. A low A, but I think he finishes the week as a top 12 tight end.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, I don't. Top 12 doesn't necessarily mean an A. It's a starting grade. That could be a C. Is still a starting grade.
Ben Watson qualifies for take a chance on me, really, and you're giving and you didn't use him.
No,
but you're giving him an A grade.
I didn't. Yeah, I didn't need to. I think Ben Watson top 60 yards, and I'm fairly certain. I would almost bet on him gaining a score, too.
Panthers take on the Falcons. Matt, I'm nervous about the Panthers missing three starting offensive linemen. One went on IR in the preseason, Matt Khalil. Another one went on IR this week, and another player's not going to go. What do you think about Carolina?
Yeah, Darrell Williams and Trey Turner are the other guys that are out this week, as is Greg Olsen, who occasionally stayed in to block.
Mm-hmm.
He's out for a long period of time, maybe the season, maybe a career. However, that kind of bodes well for Christian McCaffrey. McCaffrey averaged 8.3 targets, 6 receptions, and 45 receiving yards, along with 3 receiving touchdowns in the 8 games that Greg Olsen missed last year.
Wow.
So I'm giving him a B grade. Despite promising that he'd see 25 to 30 touches from Norv Turner and Ron Rivera, CMC only had 10 carries last week, which is just his fourth career game in which he received double-digit carries in a game.
Wow.
Both Cam Newton and Alex Arma vultured a touchdown from him. The touchdowns are going to be really murky for Christian McCaffrey this year.
Great.
Especially with CJ Anderson there and Cam Newton running. Still, Atlanta's offense has allowed the most running back receptions in each of the last 2 years. That's why he's a solid B this week. CJ Anderson's on the bench. All he's doing is ruining McCaffrey's value. Cam Newton, he gets a C grade. He's not topped 200 passing yards against the Falcons in five straight games. But he did average 8 rushing attempts and 52 rushing yards in those 5 games, along with 2 rushing scores. So he's going to be active in the run game here. The only other guy on the Panthers side that's worth a look is Devin Funchess, who I gave a C. Funchess and Jarius Wright, former Viking, each had 5 targets last week. DJ Moore, the rookie, didn't see one.
Yeah.
And it's worth noting, in the last 5 games that Olsen missed last season, Devin Funchess averaged 81 yards and scored in 4 of those 5 games.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good stuff.
I think he's better than a C grade, and especially with Keanu Neal out in the secondary for the Falcons.
Yeah.
I like Funchess more than you do.
Okay.
All right.
That's fine. Julio Jones gets the obvious A grade. Remember last year against Carolina? 12 catches, 300 yards, and 1 touchdown. Oof. In that one game in Atlanta. The notable thing, though, Matt Ryan has completed only 1 of his last 20 targets to Julio Jones in the end zone.
Wow.
Only,
man, you know how hard it is to miss Julio Jones 19 of 20 times in the end zone?
He's done it.
That's nuts.
So that's why Julio's not getting touchdowns. That's why he hasn't gotten touchdowns in years. Matt Ryan can't target him well in the end zone. So
is it play calling, though?
It might be. He might be getting Sarkisian'd.
Yeah, I think there's a chance that that's the case.
The rest of the passing game is on the bench. Sanu, Calvin Ridley, Austin Hooper, 6, 2, and 4 targets, respectively. As a Falcon, Sanu has topped 56 yards only once in 4 tries against Carolina, and Hooper hasn't topped 50 yards in over a year. Matt Ryan, also on the bench, 48.8.
What?
Yeah, he's on the bench. Matt Ryan.
So let me get this straight.
Super bench.
A quarterback who, in his last 2 years of matchups with Carolina, last 2 years of matchups, so 4 matchups, his average game, 353 yards,
yes,
and 2.5 touchdowns.
And I'm putting him
on
the
bench. And you're putting Matt Ryan on the bench.
It's a bold call, Cotton. Let's see how this pays off. 48.8 completion percentage last week, the worst he's had since 2011.
If he was playing the Eagles again, I'd say, yeah, I'd keep him on the bench too.
Plus, I don't know about you, Charch, but I tend to like touchdowns from my quarterbacks.
Yeah, so I'd take 2.5, which he averages against this opponent over the last 2 years.
Do you know what he's done in the last 10 games?
Tell me.
He's never once in 10 games had 2 touchdown passes. One
I don't like that.
Or 0 in 10 straight games.
I don't like
Matt
that part.
Ryan's bad. It's possible Matt Ryan's
bad. I don't know. I don't think he's bad. I don't necessarily agree with that. I don't necessarily agree.
The last guy I'll mention, Tevin Coleman, he's a B, teetering on an A because Devontae Freeman's out with a knee injury this week, and Thomas Davis is missing from the Panthers' linebacking core. Carolina allowed 4.7 yards per carry to the Dallas backs last week. Coleman had at least 15 touches in a game 4 times last year. He scored in 3 of those 4 games. And in the other one, he had 104 total yards. So I like Tevin Coleman getting 15 to 20 touches this week and probably being pretty successful with them.
I've got Tevin Coleman way up at running back number 13 this week. That's A-grade territory for me.
Yep.
And I think you absolutely start him. When one or the other is out for the Falcons, the guy who's in usually does very, very well.
Absolutely.
All right. When we come back, take a chance on me. 9 players upon whom you can take a chance. Find out who they are when we come back. Take a chance on me.
Number 1 on the CD. Yeah, I'm dancing.
I never want to see that again. Matt dancing in the studio.
Well, okay, it's week 2, so that means we should technically be playing track 2. Let's try track 2. Because if this is Take a Chance on Me, I don't hear it at all.
I need words.
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 Saw Beck on Thursday.
He was great. I saw you tweeting about that.
There we go. This I can at least recognize as Take a Chance on Me. 9 players not normally in your starting lineup, many of whom are available on the waiver wire. We begin at the quarterback position. Scott.
Oh, I teased it last segment. Tyrod Taylor. Throughout his career before this season, Tyrod had averaged 5 rushes for just under 40 yards per game. That's a great safe 4 to go with his 200 yards and a touchdown he averages. He had 77 yards rushing last week. Ninth among running backs last week. The Saints allowed 36 yards and a touchdown to Stew Beard last week, and 6 different quarterbacks to score or surpass 30 yards rushing last week or last year. I love him for his rushing floor this week.
All right, Matt.
Cue the peacock, because I'm going back to the well on my take a chance on me quarterback last week.
Wait. It's a preemptive peacock. I got to see what you're
saying. Can we do that? Because I'll just take Kenny Stills every week then.
Wow. Case Keenum. He was my take a chance on me quarterback last week. Through the first half, it wasn't looking good. But then he ended up with 323 yards and 3 touchdown passes against the Seahawks. This week he gets the Oakland Raiders, who do not have Khalil Mack on roster anymore. And that pass rush really didn't show up against the Rams. Mm-hmm. They only recorded 2 hits on Jared Goff last week. So it's going to be a clean pocket for Keenum, who was one of the best in the league last year when he had a clean pocket. He should go relatively unscathed in this game. He's going to put up another 303. Mark it down.
All right, 303. I like that you're making your call here. Nick Foles looked bad in the preseason. He looked bad in week 1. It all comes together against Tampa Bay. Unless Brent Grimes makes a remarkable return from his groin injury, the Bucs are going to be starting 3 backups at cornerback. Their number 1, number 2, and number 3 cornerbacks are all out. They're going to be starting Ryan Smith, MJ Stewart, and Carlton Davis as their starting cornerbacks.
I bet everybody in our listening audience knows
Ryan Smith.
Sure.
I don't think they do, but maybe. It is a very generic name. Foles started 2 road games over the last couple of seasons, and excellent in both, totaling 460 yards and 6 touchdowns. If you consider the Super Bowl a road game, and it was at least a neutral game, then those numbers get even higher. It's a great matchup against a terrible Bucs secondary that let Drew Brees eviscerate them last week. Nick Foles. Let's go to the running back position.
I'm sticking on the same team with Corey Clement. Darren Sproles is out this week.
Yeah.
And his touches have to go somewhere. And the Eagles consistently give their running backs about 30 touches. They don't seem to want to give Ajayi more than 15.
Right.
Where are those going to go? I think Corey Clement has a decent game. He had 5 carries inside from the 5-yard line and in after Ajayi got there last year. Ajayi got the one last week, but
yeah.
I think there might be opportunity there as well.
All right.
I'm sticking with the same team as my quarterback as well. I'm going with Philip Lindsay, who burst onto the scene out
running
of nowhere.
Back, but yes.
So Royce Freeman's the big back. He's 6'0", 230.
Yeah.
He didn't record a target in that game.
No.
Philip Lindsay is
on the
pass
other hand,
catcher.
Yes.
He's 5'7", 184. He's very Sproulesian.
He is Sproulesian. Woodheadsian.
Lindsay had 3 targets. That's not a lot, but he got 2 catches and 31 yards and a touchdown in the air. He also was on the field for 35% of the snaps, where Royce Freeman only on the field for 39% of the snaps. They both mirrored each other with 15 carries for 71 yards, so he was Denver's top running back scorer in week 1. He's facing an Oakland defense this week who allowed 5 catches, 57 yards, and 1 touchdown to Rams running backs just through the air last week.
Austin Eckler is my take a chance on me. There's our music. Thank you, Tony.
CD player hates me today.
Yeah, well, it's not just the CD player that hates you. Austin Eckler.
Wow. Shots fired.
Austin Eckler's got an amazing matchup with Buffalo, of course. This is San Diego's backup running back. The Bills lost by 44 points in the opener. They took a bigger drubbing when they faced the Chargers last year, when the Chargers put up 54 points on Buffalo. Eckler scored in that game last year, and this game script looks just like last week's. Last week, Baltimore went to Buffalo, ran up a big score, and then all their backup running backs got all these carries.
Yep.
Same thing's going to happen here. Chargers are going to score a bunch of points, and then Melvin Gordon's going to have a great game, and then here comes Eckler, and he'll be involved in the passing game throughout as well. A great opportunity for Austin Eckler.
I got a fun fact on that. He was my take a chance on me against Buffalo last year.
He was.
I had a different theory that 2 backs get over double digit fantasy points on Buffalo multiple times.
Regularly.
But,
yeah. Yep. And it's going to happen here too.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the wide receiver/tight end position. Scott.
I'm going with Dante Pettis here. He was a nice, sneaky pickup, and if you haven't picked him up yet, you should. The coaching staff is raved in the preseason about him, is raving about how he could have huge game with Goodwin potentially out, probably out this week, or definitely out now, I believe. He showed against Minnesota what he did on, he only had two catches, but he could have had a lot more. He was overthrown at least on one. 61 yards and a touchdown. I think he's going to be in the game a lot and have a pretty decent day.
All right.
I usually go to the tight end market on this.
Yeah.
Because I'm the tight end whisperer.
Okay.
That's right. Self-proclaimed. People lost Greg Olsen. People lost Delanie Walker. I'm going to pick up Delanie Walker's backup. That's Jonnu Smith. Houston allowed the sixth most yards and receptions to the tight ends last season. The fourth most touchdowns. They also got roasted by Gronk last week for 123 yards and a touchdown. Smith comes in as the starter now that they've lost Delanie Walker in Tennessee. Walker had seven targets last week, and he averaged seven targets per game last season. And the wide receivers are kind of banged up. Well, Corey Davis was the only heavily involved player, but he's got a hamstring injury this week. So we might be dumping off to Jonnu Smith quite a bit this week.
Danny Amendola is owned in 2% of leagues. He gets the Jets this week and got targeted. Amendola got targeted six times last week in his very first game with his new team, the Dolphins. This is the important part. He runs out of the slot. That matches him up with busted screen door.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Buster Screen. This is the same Buster Screen that you saw flailing after Golden Tate as he raced into the end zone last week. The Lions abuse screen to the point that they targeted Golden Tate in the slot 15 times.
Unreal.
Because they love that matchup with Buster Screen so much.
Yep.
So, here comes Danny Amendola. I like Amendola, and we'll get the same. I'm not predicting 15 targets. That might be a bit excessive, but we'll take 10 for Danny Amendola out of the slot.
Buster Screen came off the field injured for a second, and I thought, does it matter? He went back in.
No,
I'm like,
yeah, well, yeah.
Did it matter?
Can it get worse?
Yeah.
Probably not.
And they didn't even put a player on to replace him. They just played with 10 men.
Yeah, right. That is the true definition of addition by subtraction.
There it is.
When you just take somebody off the field and you don't even replace him. Vikings take on the Packers. We get to the Packers side, we'll talk a little more about Aaron Rodgers and what might happen there. But on the Vikings side, I think there's a lot to like here, and I got a lot of A and B grades. A grades for Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. Thielen will go up against slot cornerback Jair Alexander, getting just his second NFL start. Ooh. That is a massive advantage for Adam Thielen. Really, Alexander wasn't even tested in the opener. They only threw to their slot. Bears only threw to their slot receiver, Anthony Miller, three times in that game. Thielen, terrific matchup. Stephon Diggs, great chemistry with Cousins in the preseason. It continued into week one with a fantastic touchdown. Diggs has a favorable matchup with Kevin King, who really struggled against the Bears' tepid receivers, none of whom are nearly as good as Diggs is. Kirk Cousins gets a B grade. While with the Redskins, he faced the Packers twice, put up 704 yards and five touchdowns, didn't throw an interception. Great track record while with the Redskins against these Packers. And this is a Packers rebuild secondary that looked capable against Mitch Trubisky, but that's not even close to what's coming here with Cousins and Diggs and Thielen. B grade for him. And staying with the passing game, Kyle Rudolph has logged more receiving yards against the Packers than any team in his career. But in five Green Bay games, his average game is just 29 yards, three receptions, and 0.2 touchdowns.
I got a stat for you, too. In games where Cook, Diggs, and Thielen play, Rudolph only averages 3.4 targets.
Odd man out. How about that? Dalvin Cook looked, and I still have a B grade on him for touchdown prospects here. The linebacking group for Green Bay is in a certain amount of disarray. So I still like him here. But I don't think you're going to get a lot of volume. We're hoping for a touchdown. Dalvin Cook looked awesome when he wasn't getting smothered behind the line of scrimmage on runs. In the passing game in particular, he was amazing with his elusiveness and he forced countless missed tackles, and I like him here a lot. The Packers allowed the Bears running back tandem of Howard and Cohen to run for over 5 yards per carry. I think there's an excellent chance that Dalvin Cook does the same thing here. Also, Howard and Cohen combined for 8 catches in week one. Cook logged with 10 missed tackles, which is just amazing.
Unreal.
Yeah, broken tackles. He's fantastic. All right, let's go to the Green Bay Packers. We're going to assume Aaron Rodgers is going to play.
Hobbly Aaron Rodgers.
Yes. We're going to assume, for our purposes here, he's going to play, but he will not have his usual mobility, which really does take a lot off the table for him. He's as deadly as a quarterback there's ever been history of the NFL running, passing on the run. I don't think that's going to happen as much here. Instead, you are going to get, with limited mobility, a lot of short passes. The Vikings are going to know mostly that that's coming, and I think this is going to be a certain amount of frustration here. If he's confined to the pocket, Vikings defensive line just pins their ears back, and they're playing to get to a spot on the field, which you can't normally do with Rodgers. It could be a tough day for him. I don't think there's a guarantee that I'm not predicting he doesn't finish the game, but I think you should be aware there's a chance that Aaron Rodgers does not finish the game. I'm giving him a B grade out of respect to his ability, and anything could happen. Nobody would be surprised. It would be just like Aaron Rodgers to come out of this with four touchdowns. But there are so many things working against him that you don't normally see. I think you should show caution. Devontae Adams has got a shoulder injury, but probably plays through that. He's going to draw Xavier Rhodes. It's physical receiver versus physical cornerback. They got to get rid of the ball quickly. That's going to reduce yards after catch for Devontae Adams. I'm nervous about him as well. I'm giving him a cautious B grade here. Randall Cobb's got the most fascinating matchup of the receivers, though, because he will, working out of the slot, get first-round rookie Mike Hughes. I thought Hughes played pretty well last week. Not great, but well enough. Still advantage Cobb, who's obviously a seasoned veteran and had a huge game on Sunday night. Geronimo Allison is their straight-line speed guy. He gets the Vikings straight-line speed guy. Trey Waynes for much of this matchup. Waynes is an all-or-nothing guy. I think given all the issues that Rodgers may have, holding the ball for more than 2 seconds, I don't think the downfield passing comes along. I've got a bench grade on Geronimo Allison. And then rounding out the passing game, Jimmy Graham, just 2 catches in the opener, targeted just 4 times. You're looking for touchdowns here, but the Vikings don't generally give up a ton of touchdowns. All that said, George Kittle was on his way to a monster game, and he still had 90 yards. Could have been 150 yards and a touchdown if just a couple of things would have clicked. Still, Jimmy Graham doesn't feel like a particularly safe play, and I've got him as a C grade here, and I think they might want to use him to help block. Lastly, the running game. C grade on Jamal Williams. Vikings held San Francisco runners to just 3.6 yards per carry, and that's what they allowed on average last year as well, just 3.6 yards per carry. Williams started the Week 16 matchup against the Vikings, just 58 yards and 3.9 yards per carry. So there's nothing to like here. Vikings only allowed 5 runners to score rushing touchdowns last year.
If it comes out late on Sunday that DeShone Kizer is starting,
yeah,
all Packers are on the bench, right?
I would still start Devontae Adams in most leagues, probably down to a flex level.
Okay.
That's it. Everybody else to me is on the bench.
Yep.
DeShone, I think it comes down to that if it turns out it's a DeShone Kizer game. You know, and it's not that Kizer is completely non-functional, but he's not Aaron Rodgers. And the Vikings defense is awfully good and I think would feast on him. So yeah, I think at that point, that's the only play left. Let's take a break. When we come back, Chargers taking on the Bills. We already told you about Austin Eckler. Are there any Chargers you don't play in this game? Find out when we come back.
This afternoon at 2:30, the Minnesota Gophers host Miami of Ohio on the radio home of the Gophers. FM 100.3 KFAN, The Fan.
Welcome back to the show, Fantasy Football Weekly on The Fan. A quick reminder, we are offering at fanball.com a free $25,000 contest. $25,000 contest at fanball.com. We are quintupling the prize from last week.
Yeah.
And all you have to do, go to fanball.com/radio, set a lineup, register for the site, bang. You're in. You got a chance at the $5,000 grand prize. The total prize pool, $25,000. Fanball.com/radio. Let's jump back into the matchups. Pronto. Chargers taking on the Bills. Scott, I like every Charger.
Yeah,
I like Dan Fouts in this one.
Yeah, well, obviously, Eckler was your take-home in the last bit.
Yeah.
Melvin
Gordon.
I might
even start Marion Butts.
Yeah, I like that.
Ooh, nice. Oh, man. Natron Means getting in there. Okay, so Melvin Gordon's an obvious A. He led the team in targets last week. So, and they want to get him to, in the receiving game. If that continues, he's going to be an A all year. Keenan Allen's an obvious A. Rivers, also an A grade for me. With a game like this that's set for a blowout, you always have to remember, how did they get to that blowout?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how did they get all these points that it was a blowout? So yeah. I think Rivers and Gordon and Allen, all those guys get a ton of points early on.
Yeah.
Mike Williams, starting second wide receiver in targets last week. I have him as a B grade here. And that's mostly because Benjamin is likely out.
Mm-hmm.
If Benjamin plays, I think that takes away from Ty Williams more. But currently I have Ty Williams with a C grade there. He scored a touchdown last week.
Because, he's an interesting deep sleeper in this one.
He is. He really is. But if Benjamin plays, I'm a little worried about both of those guys. Mm-hmm. But for now, a C grade. And I'm benching all Bills. McCoy split carries. I'm just benching all the Bills. Yeah. They're gross.
That's easy. All right. I love it. Start everybody. Start every viable Charger.
Yep. Start
except
your
Gates.
Start your
We're
Chargers.
Not ready to go to Gates yet.
Nope.
No.
40% snaps, 2-point conversion. That's it last week. He may be, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Texans at the Titans, Matt. On the Texans side, the offensive line couldn't have looked worse. They lost their right tackle for the year.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Texans offense that I think is going to be a little more inconsistent than people think, but this matchup could be promising. What do you think?
Yeah, they did lose a former Minnesota guy, Shontrell Henderson. He was their right tackle for the season. That makes things slightly worse. According to Evan Silva, Deshaun Watson faced pressure on 54% of his dropbacks last week against the Patriots.
Yeah.
The Patriots' pass rush in 2017 was horrible. He was hit 12 times and sacked 3 times. That's not good.
Nope.
Still, there's so much potential. I can't give him a bench grade. He toasted the Titans' defense last year for 283 yards and 4 touchdowns through the air. And oh, by the way, added on a rushing score as well. So I'm still giving him a B grade in this game, but it's high risk, high reward for sure. DeAndre Hopkins gets the easy A. Not ready to go for Will Fuller yet. They say he's going to play. He's on my bench still, though. I want to wait and see how the hamstring shakes out for an entire week and see that he's healthy before I put him in my starting lineup.
Yeah.
Lamar Miller, the last Texan we got to mention, he hit the 20 carry mark in week one. He only did that twice in 2017, and he's had 2 positive games against Tennessee last year, 131 total yards and 2 scores in the first meeting, 94 yards on 19 touches in the second, and the Titans allowed 4.7 yards per carry to the Dolphins running backs last week. On the Titans side, it's gross. Marcus Mariota's on the bench because he injured his elbow late in that 6-hour game last week.
Yeah.
He lost Delanie Walker for the season. Both his right tackle and his left tackle are not going to play.
That's
and Pro Football
brutal.
Talk reported that Blaine Gabbert is also going to take snaps in this game.
Why?
I think that elbow is worse than they're letting on.
Man.
It might be a Blaine Gabbert game overall. Corey Davis, he's getting a C grade. He got 13 targets last week, including 3 in the red zone, but he's limited by a hamstring injury. He's the only wide receiver that you can start, though. Outside of Davis, all other wide receivers on the Titans totaled 4 targets combined. And Jonnu Smith was my take-a-chance-on-me tight end. He might be the only other guy in the receiving game in play besides Deion Lewis. I think Lewis ends up being the biggest beneficiary of the Walker injury this year. He had 8 targets last week, 5 catches for 35 yards through the air. If you add in his 16 carries and 75 yards and a score on the ground, he looked really good. And Derrick Henry, I'm giving him a C grade. Henry had a rushing stat line of 10 carries for 26 yards last week. That sucks.
Yes, that does suck.
It does not include a 65-yard touchdown run that was called back for a phantom holding call where Delanie Walker's palms were to the sky.
Yeah, I saw that.
And he's getting face masked by the Miami defender.
Yep.
And they called it back as a holding call on Delanie Walker. If you add in that run, he finishes with 91 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah.
And so that's okay.
It's a little bit like Saquon Barkley's day that got salvaged by one good run.
Yeah. So with Mariota injured and the possibility of Gabbert, I imagine the Titans are just going to attempt to keep the ball on the ground as much as possible. So I think it's both viable for Henry and Lewis to play.
But at low levels for both. I don't like an injured quarterback. I don't like not having my starting tackles.
What's bad for the offense is bad for the offense.
They're my number 36 and 39 running backs.
Yep.
Let's go to the Colts and the Washington Redskins. Hey, that's me. I got to believe the plan was not to give Andrew Luck 53 passes in the opener?
You should drop that guy.
Jeez.
Totally drop that guy.
Yeah, we should drop that guy. They can't keep that pace up, and I got to believe they're going to make every effort to dial it back here, and particularly if Marlon Mack returns. But he could throw 20 less passes, and he'd still be sitting on a 33-pass outing, which wouldn't be all bad. Redskins dominated Sam Bradford last week. Luck's got a better offensive line, and he's just playing better than Sam Bradford. So I think he finds some success here, but I've only got a C grade on him. My feeling is the shoulder is still not close to 100%, but the fact they let him throw 53 times is probably a good sign. T.Y. Hilton, A grade, and maybe an obvious A grade at that, targeted 11 times in week one. That only happened once all last season with Jacoby Brissett. So obviously having Luck back helps Hilton a lot. He will match up a lot with Josh Norman. But Josh Norman is not a shutdown cornerback anymore. That's just a neutral matchup right there. And he also plays from all over the field. That means he will periodically match up against possibly the worst starting cornerback in the league, Fabian Moreau. Don't blame yourself if you don't know Fabian Moreau. He and Buster Skrine, 1A and 1B, for worst starting slot cornerbacks in the NFL. And that brings us to one of my favorite sneaky plays of the week. Ryan Grant. In a revenge game for Ryan Grant. Targeted 9 times last week.
Ooh, 9 times?
9 times.
9 times.
He caught 8 of the 9 passes. That's going to earn him some additional confidence from Luck, I feel certain. And he also plays from all over the field, so he too will periodically get Fabian Moreau or their other pedestrian cornerback, Quentin Dunbar. So I like Ryan Grant as a sneaky play here. I'm keeping both Doyle and Ebron on the bench in part because they split work, and I don't like that part of it. The Redskins were susceptible to tight ends last year, but they only gave up 19 tight end yards last week. And I'm keeping all the Indianapolis runners on the bench as well. Marlon Mack comes back, but then how much work does he get? Jordan Wilkins will be in the mix to some degree, but how much work will he get? Nyheim Hines, will he continue catching passes? When Marlon Mack comes back, as he can catch passes too? I'm just going to let this thing shake out. And, of course, Washington dominated David Johnson last week, who's better than all three of those losers combined. Let's go to the Washington side of this game. Alex Smith was awesome last week, and he could be even better this week as he faces an easier secondary and it's his second game in this new offense. Colts finished 27th in passing yards allowed last year. And then Andy Dalton was very good against them last week as well. Alex Smith's got better receivers with plus matchups all over the place. I think Alex Smith is an A grade. I wouldn't hesitate to start him here. Hey, I think he might end up being one of the guys I whiffed on the worst in my preseason rankings. I thought he would take a step back, leaving Andy Reid and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and... Week one is any indication, Alex Smith's going to be just fine. Let's go to his receivers. Jamison Crowder gets a B grade here. He was only targeted 4 times last week, but that will change. Paul Richardson is dinged up. He may not play, although I think he will. And Crowder draws an easy matchup with Indianapolis cornerback Kenny Moore the second. I think Kenny Moore the first or Kenny Moore the third could be better than Kenny Moore second.
Wow.
Baby Kenny Moore.
Baby Kenny Moore.
Yeah.
Imagine the age on Kenny Moore, the first playing in the NFL.
Yeah, exactly. He could be 60 out there. Jordan Reed was very good in the opener, and I think he's sitting on a nice one here as well. Almost an ideal matchup. Indianapolis allowed a tight end touchdown in half of their games last year. He is an A grade at the tight end position. And then lastly, Paul Richardson, if he goes with the shoulder, you could try a flyer on him, too, frankly. He led the team in targets last week, and Richardson faces one of the worst starting cornerbacks in the NFL, Pierre Desir. Lastly...
I think you're making up some of these
names. I know. These guys stink. And while every time I keep mentioning a cornerback, like, well, that guy's terrible. That guy's terrible. That guy's terrible.
You only bring up the worst in everybody.
Maybe that's it. Well, when you're playing Indianapolis, that's going to happen. Let's go to the running backs. Chris Thompson, awesome opening game. We loved him all preseason. He shined in the opener, 128 total yards and a touchdown. Raised his career rushing average to 5.4 yards per carry. Last week, against the same Indianapolis Colts team, Joe Mixon, 5 catches, 54 yards. I think that's the bottom end for Chris Thompson here. Adrian Peterson coming off a very nice game. Last year, no team faced more rushing plays than Indianapolis's defense. And Adrian's all about volume, baby. If he gets his carries, eventually good things happen. He got 26 carries last week. He looked sharp, scored a touchdown. I think that's the same kind of prospect here. B grade. Adrian Peterson. Let's take a break. When we come back, three hot questions. We're down from five because we don't have any bye weeks. We got a lot of matchups to work through. It makes it easier for you to go 100%. It didn't help my co-host last week, and neither of them did. But maybe that's how I remember.
You told us
it anyway.
To drop Andrew Luck.
Well, there is that.
None of the hosts
I have not been proven wrong yet.
This is Fantasy Football Weekly, presented by Devani's on the Fan. Man.
Tip of the hat to anybody playing high school fantasy football. It had players from the Buffalo Elk River game. The two teams combined for 150 points.
Elk River wins 80-70.
80-70. Buffalo scored 70 points and lost the game.
Buffalo's head coach, former Viking quarterback Todd Bauman.
Todd Bauman's still in town. Hi, Todd. Sorry that you lost. Your team scored 70 points and lost. That is crazy. Was Todd the quarterback? I mean, maybe that's part of why. Maybe they had a pro-caliber quarterback.
Todd Bauman had some good moments for the Vikings back in the day.
Yeah, probably. I remember at one point there were some people in town that really wanted Todd to be get an opportunity to be the long-term starter.
Yeah, it was St. Cloud State alum.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, let's fire up our three hot questions.
Devani's hot question number one.
Should we just drop Doug Baldwin now, Scott?
No. He's played hurt many, many times in his career. This is his first missed game in 89 games. It might only be a couple weeks, if you believe Petey Sunshine. 2 to 4 weeks, they say.
What the hell's Petey Sunshine?
Pete Carroll likes to talk very, very positive about his players.
Okay, got it.
So Petey Sunshine.
Petey Sunshine.
All right.
he's a potential league winner if someone drops him and you can just pick him up. I would not do that at this point.
By the way, Petey Sunshine, the combination of two names from Remember the Titans. There we go.
Yeah.
Maybe that's part of it. I don't know. To me, it sounded like a whiskey. Petey Sunshine.
We'll make it.
Yeah.
I kind of like that Baldwin's going to miss a few weeks. And the reason is he was going to play all season on one injured knee.
Right.
And then he injured the other knee.
Correct.
So now he's got maybe a month to sit and get two knees healthy. So if I have a bench that's five players deep and I'm not dealing with a significant amount of Le'Veon Bell's or Joe Mixon's, where I'm going to have to like hold some bench spots for some guys who aren't going to play for a while.
All right, there's a lot of ifs. Okay,
I'm going to keep Doug Baldwin. I don't want to drop Doug Baldwin.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit too early, but it's tempting right now because you drafted him with a reasonably high draft pick, and you're going to get nothing out of him for quite a while. But he is by far the best receiver on a team with an excellent quarterback and a terrible defense that's got to fill the scoring role left behind by Jimmy Graham. So the opportunities ultimately will be there, but I think Doug. We all think it's going to be a very difficult season for Doug Baldwin. I don't think there's any chance that he's going to be, as Scott just said, a guy who's going to like lead you to a championship. I think you might get lucky on a handful of good games, but I don't think he's going to be. If he's really going to play on one bad knee all season long, I don't think he's going to be a reliable helper. But we're not quite ready to drop him yet.
Devani's hot question number two.
It looks like Sony Michel will make his NFL debut tomorrow. Are you buying low, or are you just happy to have avoided the Patriots running backs? Matt?
As I usually like to do, I like to give a third answer to
make sure you get wrong.
Three hot questions wrong. To make sure that I get it wrong, because I don't think your option is limited to buy low now. I think it might be a better time to buy low around mid-season because the Patriots over the last few years have converted in the fall from a very pass-heavy offense to November, December after Thanksgiving. They become a very run-oriented offense. That's why Deion Lewis was a top 10 back last season. That's why Tom Brady's numbers are down at the tail end of each season. So I think Sony Michel's the big winner at the tail end of the season. I'm going to wait. I'm going to buy him lower in the middle of the season.
Your answer is no.
Don't buy him low now.
All right. So you think his value is actually going to go down?
I think it's going to drop more.
He's going to be so bad early that you'll actually get him cheaper later.
I think it's murky in the beginning, and I think you'll get him cheaper later.
I'm buying low. There are people who simply refuse to have half your league simply refuses to roster any Patriots running back because, you know, people get burned on Patriots running backs. But for me, it's all about just paying the right price for the risk and reward that they offer. So to me, I don't have this like I'm never taking a Patriots running back. Well, of course I will. Deion Lewis led me to a fantasy championship championship game. I lost, but I made it to the championship game last year in my charge league. Rex Burkhead was an RB2 in the second half of last year. The year before that, Patriots running back LeGarrette Blount led the league in touchdowns. There no team has scored more rushing touchdowns than the Patriots over the last 5 years. There's so much upside to their running backs. It's all about how much risk they bring and what you have to pay to get it. Right now, you have to pay very little to get Sony Michel. The owner right now of Sony Michel contemplated dropping him this week. Trust me, I know. You know, they were looking at the waiver wire going, Philip Lindsay or Sony Michel? Philip Lindsay or Sony Michel? Ugh. Right now, you can pay very, very little for him. And I'd like to remind you, Michel is sick. Go watch his Georgia tape. It is bonkers. And unlike Nick Chubb, who just ran through these massive gaping holes, Michel just broken tackle after broken tackle after stiff arm after just juking dudes out of their cleats. I mean, he is a special talent that they took in the first round, and he's practically free right now.
Yeah, I agree. We were both the kind of guys that our pants flew off talking about Sony Michel in the preseason. I'm buying low because I've now heard your answer.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
I skipped you.
God damn it. I think Fish got
Good
it right.
Call. You did get it right. My apologies.
You get a
I got so excited.
Buy.
I got so excited to jump in.
Giovanni's hot question number
I've
3.
I've never done that. History of 5 and 3 tough questions. I've never skipped a dude.
Damn it. You're really excited. It's okay.
I was. Will David Johnson finish the season as an RB1, RB2, flex level player, or bench? Scott, this time I'm going to let you answer.
Oh, man, Matt, I think Matt's got a better answer. I don't have a great take on this one. I think people are overreacting to one game against the Washington defense that looked really good. I think he should probably finish high-end RB2, low-end RB1.
Mm-hmm.
So this makes it a little bit of a tough question, but I think I'm going to stick with RB1, tail end of RB1.
Yeah. It's not long until Josh Rosen takes over this team, so you have a rookie quarterback who's going to be facing, you know, stacked boxes for David Johnson the rest of the season. And listen to this upcoming schedule. They have at the Rams this week. They have the Bears defense at home the following week. Seahawks, that's not as tough. At Niners, they looked really good. At Vikings, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
Broncos, great against running backs. And then the 49ers again. They don't get a really awesome plus matchup until the Chiefs on November 11th. So you're waiting until mid-November to feel really, really confident about David Johnson's matchup. And it's terrible that we got to look at matchups for David Johnson now. And oh, by the way, in week 16, he gets the Rams again in the fantasy championship week. Oof. So if I can do it, I want to trade David Johnson for the combo of the Pittsburgh runners, Saquon, Melvin Gordon, Zeke Elliott, guys who went a little lower in ADP. I'd like to make that trade right now with David Johnson.
Another note, it is a new coaching staff.
Yeah, and that's that new coaching staff. It may take them a while to figure out how to use him as well as Bruce Arians did. Bruce Arians
is
a really good offensive coach.
Yeah.
RB2 is the correct answer. Yeah. And the only other thing, you did a great job with this one, Matt. The only thing that I'll add to this, the offensive line woes, so real. The offensive line for the Cardinals generated by far the fewest yards before contact of any offensive line in the NFL through week one. Get this. 1.2 yards before contact. That's it. Terrible offensive line. We talked about it in the preseason. That was always the worry for him. So it all came to fruition in week one, and I don't think it's going to get better on a regular basis. I want to mention the winner of our Crush Charts Challenge from week one. It is Ann Wickstrom, who will be joining me at Manny's for the winner's banquet and her shot at the $2,000 grand prize. You can play along. You could be this week's Ann Wickstrom. Actually, she could win again. Then she'd have two entries into the drawing at the end of the year for the $2,000. But don't let her. Go play for free at grainbelt.com. Also of note, Twitter follower Dave Barton says, Todd Bauman's son, Aiden, is the starting quarterback for Buffalo, who threw 8 touchdowns in the game.
And 511
and
yards.
511 yards. And he lost. Man, that's one. Unbelievable. Let's go back to the matchups. Dolphins taking on the Jets. Scott, Ryan Tannehill was shockingly competent, and Kenny Stills looks like an emerging potential superstar candidate at wide receiver. What do you like as they take on the Jets?
Of course he does. He's a star. I don't have too many startable guys here, but I did give Tannehill C. Not only did he look competent, and I know the Jets made Stafford look terrible, but I think the Jets are pretty middle of the road last year in most categories. I think he can be okay here. Mostly I like Stills as an A grade. Jets were bottom 10 against wide receivers last year. Stills in his last game against them, 6 catches, 85 yards, 2 touchdowns, and he did that being targeted 9 times.
9 times.
There it is.
9 times.
And the coaching staff wants to get more targets underneath. I think he's going to have a lot more than 5 targets in this one. Amendola was your take-home. Mm-hmm. I had a starting grade on him as well.
Yep.
I'm benching everyone else, especially with Parker coming back. I don't think Jakeem the Dream sees 7 targets again.
No.
So Kenyon Drake, I actually gave a B grade to. In his games, he's had 17 or more touches in all but one of his starting games. He played 74% of the snaps. Gore only played 29% of the snaps. He made them count.
He did. 6 yards a carry.
But I don't know that he's going to do that consistently this year at this point in his career.
That's fair to say.
I love the volume for Drake. I'm giving him a B grade.
Hmm.
Over to the Jets side. I don't know if I said it. Tannehill, I gave a C grade too.
Okay.
Over to the Jets side, I'm benching almost all of the passing game. Darnold only had 21 attempts, and he didn't top 200 yards. That'll go
up. He looked good, though.
That'll go up. I mean,
he completed most of his 21. He was
right.
17 of 21 or something.
I do have a bench score on him. I just want to see it
again.
I know it'll go up because among 16 game starters last year, Jacoby Brissett was the lowest, averaging 29 attempts a game.
Yeah.
So it will go up.
Well, they didn't have to throw much because they were up by a trillion.
Right. Anderson, I'm benching. He only saw 1 target. I love him as a deep play touchdown threat, and he led the NFL in 20 plus yard touchdowns last year. But 1 target from Darnold, yeah, that concerns me.
Scary.
I want to see him get more targets before.
But what
I start.
About Anunua?
I love Anunua.
I do.
I made a crazy proclamation on a podcast earlier this week about Anunua, but he saw 10 of Darnold's 21 targets out there. I've mentioned this before. He's 6'2", 225, and plays the slot, which gives him usually a 4 to 5 inch advantage.
Yeah.
Out there, and Darnold could not say he. Couldn't stop but like glowing saying nice things about Anunua this week. I'm benching Pryor. He only played 40% of the snaps despite the 49 yards. Over to the running game, I don't like that Crowell and Powell split so much. Crowell got the touchdowns, but Henry and Lewis, especially if you give Henry the 62-yard touchdown that got taken away, they really torched Miami, both through the air to running backs and
they
on
don't
the
have Ndamukong Suh clog in the middle. That's a big difference for Miami this year.
Exactly. I gave both these guys C grades only because they monopolize each other, but I think they're both startable.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the Raiders and Broncos, Matt. The almost nothing to like from the Raiders game on Monday night. Amari Cooper in particular, very, very disappointing. Other mm-hmm. than Jared Cook was the lone bright spot. Who do you like this week as they travel to Denver in a good Broncos defense?
I hope Tony has my music queued up. Yeah, there it is. You want to know what I think about Marshawn Lynch? It's time for a sabotage. Marshawn Lynch chart. Yes.
No, don't do it.
11 carries last week. A shoulder and a groin injury. That's about what I expect out of Marshawn Lynch from now on. That Raiders defense is absolutely terrible, which means they're going to be playing behind all season long. That means Jalen Richard enters the game and leads the running backs in touches. It's time to think about sabotage dropping Marshawn Lynch in your league. There's no proof that John Gruden knows how to coach an offense anymore either. No,
that is true.
Lynch's early run looked good, and they just went away from him the rest of the game.
They did.
It made no sense at all. So he's on the bench, and I think he's a sabotage drop against the Broncos.
Wow.
Much to the chagrin of Paul Charchi.
That is much to my chagrin.
Derek Carr, I have a bench and drop grade on Derek Carr as well. In Denver, in 3 tries, Derek Carr has never topped 158 yards. Gross. Amari Cooper, he's on the bench. He's topped 58 yards four times in his last 17 games, had only three targets last week, and draws Chris Harris this week.
Mm.
Jordy Nelson, he's got a bench and drop grade as well. Four targets last week. He used to be a deep threat. Carr can't throw deep anymore. 26 of his 29 completions were within 9 yards of the line of scrimmage.
That is
gross.
Which contract do the Raiders regret? Are they going to regret more? The one they gave their head coach or the one they gave their quarterback?
The one they didn't give to Khalil Mack.
It cost them Khalil Mack, right?
Yeah. Yes, they regret more.
The only starter is Jared Cook, and I'm not trying to chase the huge stat line he had last week. That was great. He now holds the three different NFL franchise records for most tight end yards in a game. The Rams, the Raiders, and the Titans. He's the career leader for those franchises. But he's facing the Broncos this week. The Broncos, terrible tight end matchup. They gave up a huge game to Will Disley last week. Will Disley, by the way, not my take a chance on me tight end last week. It was Nick Vannett, his teammate.
I know.
You were so close. Almost got it right.
Had you only thought about the converted defensive end to tight end angle,
yeah,
I think you'd have found Will Disley.
Over on the Broncos, this will be brief because Philip Lindsay and Case Keenum were my take a chance on me guys. I got a B for Royce Freeman. I talked about how the Raiders' defense was poor against the runners via the pass, but they also gave up 113 yards on the ground to running backs last week, so Freeman's a B. Manuel Sanders, easy A. He might be for a while. Case Keenum loves that slot receiver. That was on display. The Raiders allowed Cooper Kupp to go for 59 yards and a touchdown last week. That's their weak spot in the secondary is their slot coverage. So Sanders is an A. Demaryius Thomas gets a B. Cortland Sutton I got on the bench, though. Both Brandon Cooks and Robert Woods had meager outputs in week one against the outside corners. Cooks was better at 5 for 87. That's about what I see for Demaryius Thomas in this game, so that's about a B grade there.
Okay.
And Jake Butt's on the bench. I just wanted to say on air that I do not plan to touch Butt this weekend.
Nicely done.
Yep.
Or Butt. Is it Jake Butt or Jake Butts?
Just Butt.
He's just Butt?
Single Butt.
All right. So we're not touching Butt. When we come back, Chiefs and Steelers. High-flying shootout. Points everywhere, right?
Game stack.
They played last year. Final score, 19-13. We'll tell you what to expect between these teams when we come back.
This is Fantasy Football Weekly, presented by Grain Belt Premium on The Fan.
Welcome back, Fantasy Football Weekly on The Fan, week number two. Hope it was a 1-0 start for you and your teams. They all went 1-0. If they didn't, you got to, a certain amount of reflection, try to figure out, was week one an anomaly? Did I just run into a hot opponent? What parts of my roster are going to be better going forward, which aren't? Don't hesitate to take drastic action. I mean, we learn a lot in week one. Don't get so bound to the picks that you made that meant so much to you in August.
Correct.
That you can't emotionally disassociate from those picks and look at the problems that your team has and the players who aren't going to work out and be realistic about it.
ADP doesn't matter anymore.
Great. That's exactly it. To summarize in a phrase, ADP doesn't matter anymore. Just, you need to have
the second your draft
steely
is over, it's gone.
Indifference as you examine your squad.
Yeah.
Let's turn through a few more matchups, including the Chiefs versus the Steelers. As I mentioned going into the break, these teams met last year. Shockingly low-scoring game, 13-19. No chance that happens here. Last I looked, the Vegas line on this, I think, is 56.
52.5.
52.5, thank you.
They're not going to go Buffalo Elk River on it, though,
no,
right?
No.
Close.
There is no Aiden Bauman at the helm of either one of these teams. Let's start on the Kansas City side. Tyreek Hill, obvious A grade, could be sitting on the best wide receiver year of any wide receiver potentially this season. We'll see how that goes. B grades for his quarterback, Patrick Mahomes in this one. Safe to say he's not going to get two shovel pass touchdowns in this game. I think that's not going to happen again.
I don't even know that's safe to say.
Yeah, maybe it's going to. Maybe every game it's going to be two shovel passes. God, will he take that? But it's still a good matchup. As you guys know, I stuck my neck out on Mahomes big time. I'm not going to lie. When those touchdowns happened,
where's the peacock?
The long ones. Oh, I was jumping up and down. in my living room, vaulted off the couch, pants flew off my body.
Completely naked, for sure.
Totally. My nakedness was naked. The Steelers secondary, already battered. Starting cornerback Joe Hayden is doubtful. Artie Burns is questionable. Burns only plays one side of the field, so even if Burns starts, the Chiefs can just put Hill on the other side of the field, where there is apparently a player worse than Joe Hayden right now, Cameron Sutton. So, a great matchup for Hill here, and frankly, a good one for all of the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes, B grade, considered an A grade for him here as well. He is my quarterback number 5 across the board this week. Also, I'll mention this. Steelers pass rush, maybe missing 2 players as well. Defensive tackle Cameron Hayward and defensive end Tyson Alulu. And if those guys can't go, now they're short in the secondary and the pass rush. Patrick Mahomes is an A grade. I'm switching
right now.
It's an A grade.
I was kind of questioning this.
We already mentioned Tyreek Hill. Travis Kelce, just 1 catch last week, and Pittsburgh was stellar against tight ends last year, allowing the fewest touchdowns and the fewest receptions to the position. They also held Cleveland tight ends last week to just 25 yards. But in his career against Pittsburgh, Kelce has tallied 6 or more targets in all 5 games, so the game script has always worked for him here, and he's had 70 yards or more in half of them, so I have a B grade on Kelce, and I think he bounces back, but I don't see an explosive game coming. Sammy Watkins gets a C grade because of the injuries to the secondary that I outlined earlier. Only 3 catches from him last week, and he had a terrible drop. So I'm not sure that Sammy Watkins is a average NFL receiver at best.
And led in wide receiver snaps last week, too, which is weird.
Yeah, over Hill.
I
just think he's just a guy, but he gets a C grade here. Kareem Hunt. In the meeting last year, Hunt totally shut down on the ground, 21 rushing yards. That is it. His day was saved through the air, though. He had 89 yards receiving in the matchup last year. That was the second highest total of his entire career. But get this. Kareem Hunt, in his last 140 snaps, has garnered 20 receiving yards. That's it.
Wow.
He has disappeared from the receiving game, and that's how he beat the Steelers last year. So he looked ordinary against the Chargers last week as well. The good news is Steelers allowed a whopping 4.7 yards per carry last year, but they only gave up 2.9 yards per carry to the Browns last week. There's a lot of things working against Kareem Hunt here. He is only a B start. Let's go to the Steelers side. Roethlisberger, Brown, obvious A starts. Anytime Ben is at home, don't think twice. You just play him automatically. As bad as he looked on the road last week, he should be great at home. We've seen this over and over again. Antonio Brown's an obvious start. James Conner, A grade and my number 5 running back this week. Very good last week. And the last 4 times Le'Veon Bell faced the Chiefs, listen to the yardage totals. This is just rushing. 121. 144, 170, and 179 rushing yards for Le'Veon Bell. If you think that James Conner is, let's say, 80% of Le'Veon Bell, you're still looking at like 140 yards, 160-yard games, so that'd be great. Conner, what was it, 200 total yards last week? Bell touched the ball, by the way, in his last 2 meetings with Kansas City, 64 times. So Connor's getting volume. I mean, everything here screams, start James Conner. Juju Smith-Schuster gets a C grade. Steelers slot receiver he matches up against the only member of the Chiefs secondary who's worth a damn, and that's Kendall Fuller, who came over in the Alex Smith trade. Fuller was terrific last year. He was very good in week 1. The Chargers had to throw around Kendall Fuller, and that means Juju Smith-Schuster's got the worst matchup on the field. He drops all the way down to a C grade here. And here's your best and one of my favorite deep flyers for this week. He really should have been my take-a-chance-on-me receiver. Justin Hunter. Journeyman, former first-rounder, who's found himself in Pittsburgh. He started opposite Antonio Brown last week, and James Washington barely even hit the field. Hunter has a dream matchup against Orlando Scandrick, who's playing out of position. If you need a dart to throw this week, if you're looking for that ultra-cheap DFS play, perhaps at Fanball, perhaps for the $25,000 prize pool by going to fanball.com/radio. Justin Hunter is the way to go. For the tight ends for Pittsburgh, they're done for the year now. Vance McDonald comes back. That means that he's going to share time with Jesse James. It's over for both.
Yep.
Moving on.
Why are you so low on Mahomes? I have him top 4 this week.
I have him at 5.
Oh, okay. I thought you
had... I got him at 5.
I don't have, that's fair. That's fair.
And you know what? And it's only because I'm so deeply, passionately, romantically in love with Patrick Mahomes.
That you're worried
that
about
I have to check my own enthusiasm a little bit.
I get that.
All right. Thank you. Eagles take on the Bucks, Scott. We've already talked about some of our plays that we love here. The Bucks are short. They're number one, number two, and number three starting cornerbacks for this game.
Yeah, and for that reason, Foles is your take-home, obviously. Mm. For that reason, I have Nelson Aguilar as an A grade. He had 10 targets last week. Didn't do a lot with him, but that's going to be rare. When you get 10 targets, you're going to do a lot more. And thanks to Rich Rebar for this stat, the Bucs allowed 13 slot receiver receptions last week. Aguilar plays the slot. Could be a big day.
He's my number 11 wide receiver this week. Love him.
They were the worst in the league against wide receivers last year. Mike Wallace, honestly, I want to start him, but he had no catches last week, so I just can't trust him even in a great matchup, so I'm still benching him. Ertz gets the A grade there. He led the Eagles in targets. I know that the Bucs have only allowed 3 tight ends over 50 yards in the last 19 games, but they faced Ingram, Olsen, and then Ebron was the third best tight end in that stretch. So I think that Ertz is still an A.
Yep.
Clement was my take home in the running game. Ajayi, I'm giving a B grade too. Sproles is out. Ajayi's still going to get his 15 touches. And my theory on the Ajayi usage last week was basically that they were trying to heal up his foot, which I think is now completely healed. And the Falcons are terrible against pass catcher and running backs, and that's why Sproles played so much last week. This week, Ajayi and Clement, 15-ish touches each. B grade for Ajayi. Over to the Buccaneers. I'm benching Fitzpatrick after a QB1 performance.
Yeah.
You're so ballsy that you'll bench the number one quarterback in fantasy football.
Yep. Number one player in fantasy football.
Get this stat. My boy Ryan McDowell came up with this one. Fitzpatrick has been a QB1, a top 12 quarterback, 35 times. His average finish the following week, QB23.
Wow.
He comes back terrible. He
comes back to earth in a major way.
He does not reload. He cannot keep it up for the second performance. The Eagles, have held 6 of the last 10 QBs they faced under 200 yards and only 12 touchdowns to those 10 quarterbacks. I'm benching him and most of the passing game because of that. D-Jax in a revenge game. He's hurt, might not play. Evans is an obvious A grade, though. It doesn't matter with the matchup. He's an obvious A grade for me here. Godwin, I'm giving a C grade to. In games where he's played 40 or more snaps, he's done really well. He's done well in all of his starts. He's had at least 68 yards or a touchdown. He played 70% of the snaps last week. D-Jax played 30%.
Yeah.
So, benching Howard, benching Brate, tight ends, Eagles are good against tight ends. Can't start him. I'm actually benching Barber as well. It took him 19 touches to not be that good last week. And the Eagles allowed the fewest yards to running backs last year.
Yeah,
and the
brutal matchup for him.
Yeah, so I'm benching Barber. I don't care if he gets 20 touches, I'm still benching him.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this next one in 1 minute, Charge.
Patriots-Jags. No, you're a Cardinals-Rams.
Cardinals-Rams. David Johnson, A grade. 9
really?
Targets, 5 receptions. Rams allowed 145 total yards and a score to the Raiders' backs last week.
Oh, you're so wrong on this.
Yep.
Terrible offensive line. Vastly improved run defense with Ndamukong Suh for the Rams. He's going to get... He is in deep
ruining
trouble.
Ruining my minute right now. Larry Fitzgerald, B grade. 10 targets, 7 receptions, 76 yards last week. Fitz and DJ totaled 19 targets. The rest of the team had 14. Ricky Seals-Jones, he gets a C grade, encouraging that he had 6 targets. Ran routes on 73% of the Cardinals' plays last week. The Rams did just give up the farm to Jared Cook last week, too. That might be the way to gouge this defense. The rest of the passing game, including Sam Bradford on the bench. Todd Gurley, easy A. Cooper Kupp, B grade. Led the team in red zone targets with 3, including 2 inside the 10, 9 total targets. In the 2 meetings last year, Kupp had 51 and a score in the first, 68 yards in the second. Cooks, Woods, both C grades. 8 targets last week, drew very long pass interference call for Brandon Cooks.
Mm-hmm.
Those don't count as targets, though, so he would have had 10. Cooks ran 85% of his routes on the outside, making him the likely matchup against Patrick Peterson. That's why he gets the C. Woods had 9 targets. He gets the C2, tied with Kupp, with 2 targets inside the 10. Woods only played the Cards once last year with a meager 5 for 59 coming out of that game. Just a little tepid on him. Finally, Jared Goff. I like everybody, so I got to give Jared Goff a B. Goff has thrown for multiple touchdown passes in 8 of his last 9 regular season games. The Cardinals have allowed multiple touchdowns in 6 of their last 9 games, and the Rams put up 32 and 33 points against Arizona in their last 2 meetings with them.
That was well done. It was concise, but it was still way more than 1 minute. But that's okay.
I blame you.
We will take... It's all my fault. We will take a break. Our final set of matchups and your premature speculation and your calls. Lightning round. All of that coming in a power-packed final segment of Fantasy Football Weekly.
This is Fantasy Football Weekly, presented by Devani's on The Fan.
One final mention of the very special deal we put together at Fanball. Totally free. $25,000 contest for week 2. Just build a roster. Go to, the only way to do this deal, you have to go to fanball.com/radio. If you don't go there, you're not going to get the deal.
Yep.
Fanball.com/radio, $25,000 prize pool. You get to enter for free. And just build a roster. See what happens. 29 hours from now, you could be sitting on $5,000. It costs you nothing. This is a no strings attached deal. There's no fancy, there's no gotcha at the end of this. Just go build a roster, register for the site. That's it. $25,000. Fanball.com/radio. Let's, segment we like to call premature speculation. The idea is we give you a guy to pick up this week that other people are going to wish they already had on their roster, like Philip Dorsett last week. Let's see who we're recommending. Scott?
You know, in my leagues, Jalen Richard is still available even after the 11 targets, then catching 9 of them this last week. I don't love the Denver matchup this week, and maybe that's why he's still available pretty widely. Terrible matchup, top 5 run defense against receiving backs. But after that, he gets Miami, who gave up 6 for 40 through the air and 141 and 1 total and a 62-yarder called back. 4th most receptions and 2nd most receiving touchdowns of running backs last year. And then after that, he gets the Browns, who were bottom 12 against receiving backs last year and just torched by Connor. So he's got a couple really good matchups coming up after this week.
All right. Matt, who's your premature speculation player?
I got the guy that is not Justin Hunter on the Steelers. That's James Washington. I'm chalking last week up to first game for a rookie, weird weather, super rainy and windy. And this week they play the Chiefs, who allowed 16 receptions to wide receivers in week 1. That was the 7th most in the league. So he's got a good shot to get some play this week. The Chiefs also allowed the 2nd most yards and the 3rd most receptions to wide receivers in 2017. Next week, they get the Buccaneers, who allowed the most receptions and yards to wide receivers last year, and who allowed a league-high 23 receptions to wide receivers in week 1 against the Saints. I think it's James Washington, but if you want to plug in Justin Hunter and say the same thing.
For right now, I'd want to do Justin Hunter. If you ask me in week 12 who's starting, then it's Washington. I think he's a long-term hold. Bizarrely, in 58% of ESPN's leagues, Aaron Jones, the best running back by a mile on the Packers, is available. You got a coin flip's chance that Aaron Jones is available in your league. He's so much better than Williams, who's utterly mundane. Williams, 3.6 yards per carry last season, and to this point, he's 3.1 yards per carry this season. Get this, Aaron Jones, 5.5 yards per carry last year. He's suspended for these first 2 games. Williams did nothing last week. He's going to do nothing against the Vikings. Jones is going to come in looking like a hero after what Jamal Williams has done.
I think I said this in the preseason like 4 times during our shows.
Yeah, Brian loves Jamal, but Aaron Jones, 10 carries over 10 yards last year. Jamal, 1.
Look, it's not close. That'll Aaron Jones is the best running back on the Packers, period, end of story. Let's dive back into our matchups, beginning with the Patriots taking on the Jaguars.
Yep.
Normally, this is the point of which I say, obvious A for Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, and we just move on. But it's the Jaguars. This is an elite secondary that ranked number 1 in passing yards allowed, number 3 in passing touchdowns allowed, number 2 in fantasy points to quarterbacks allowed. Last week, they totally dominated Eli Manning. They held him to a scoreless 224 yards. So we look back at the AFC Championship game when these teams played last January. Tom Brady managed 290 yards and two touchdowns in that game. But to get to 290 yards and two scores, they only ran the ball 13 times. Ooh. All the rest were passes. That was 38 passes. So I'm nervous about Tom Brady here, but a B grade because he's Tom Brady, and he threw for 290 and two last time they met. Let's talk about his receivers. Philip Dorsett gets a C grade here. He fills the spot vacated by Brandon Cooks, who went for 100 yards in the AFC Championship game. But he's going to likely draw Jalen Ramsey, and it's a brutal matchup. And frankly, I prefer you don't have to start him. Cordell Patterson's on the bench, but I'll note that he does work out of the slot, which gives him the easiest matchup among the Jaguars cornerbacks, DJ Hayden. Total dart throw here, but I couldn't get myself to put a starting grade in Cordell after he only had one target last week. Chris Hogan on the bench. Just one catch last week. Had two catches against the Jaguars in the playoff game. He has a brutal matchup with A.J. Bouye. Buy low on Chris Hogan. Do it today because he had the bad game last week and the Chris Hogan owner doesn't want to start him this week. You'll never have a lower price on Tom Brady's number one wide receiver than Chris Hogan right now. Go buy low.
And very secretly, check out Chris Hogan's price on Fanball this week.
Shh. Quiet. Rob Gronkowski gets a B grade here. He had just one catch in the AFC Championship game, but he was pretty dinged up for a lot of last season.
No, remember he was knocked out with a concussion.
Oh, that was
in
it.
That
yeah,
game.
Yeah, yeah.
This
That's
is a
exactly
revenge
right.
game for Gronk.
Injury revenge game.
Yeah.
Jags were elite against tight ends last year, and they shut down Evan Ingram last week, holding him to 18 yards. And what else we got? Running game. Let's talk about James White. Well, first, know this. Rex Burkhead probably plays despite being in the concussion protocol, but we don't know for sure, and he's heading towards a potential game-time decision. He had only one carry in the playoff game. And then Sony Michel might make his debut. That would muddy the waters further. The Jaguars held Saquon Barkley to 2 yards per carry, except for the 64-yard touchdown that Barkley had. And so I've got Burkhead on the bench. I've got Sony Michel on the bench. We're going to take a watch on his status. We don't even know for sure if he's going to play. James White gets a C grade here. He scored last week, but nothing comes easily against the Jaguars, and White was totally invisible in the playoff game last January, and the Jaguars only gave up 3 running back scores through the air last year. Now, if Burkhead and Michel are both inactive, which is possible,
yeah,
then James White would elevate up to a B-level start. Let's go to the Jaguar side. This thing's super murky, and it's all about Leonard Fournette, so let's talk it through for a minute. Very limited practice this week. He had the hamstring injury that knocks him out of last week. Hamstrings are notorious for re-injury and aggravation. So you roll all that together, and I think unless you get a very strong message that he's going to be active, and he's going to start, and he's going to get a lot of snaps, I think he's a very high-risk play here. When active, if he were getting a full workload, he would probably get a B grade. As it stands right now, I have a nervous C on Leonard Fournette, and my preference here is you don't even have to start him. I think T.J. Yeldon will most likely end up with more total touches than Fournette, even if Fournette is active for this game. So it's just a lot of danger and a lot of moving parts, and I wish you could do something different. The Patriots allowed 4.9 yards per carry last week, and that's in line with the crappy 4.7 they gave up all of last year. So running backs can get it done here. I'm just nervous about the rotation and the hamstring and the threat of re-injury. So I've got C grades on Yeldon and Leonard Fournette. In the passing game, in 3 games without Leonard Fournette, Blake Bortles averages 300 passing yards, and so he'll be asked to carry more here if Fournette can't go. He threw for 293 yards in the playoff game, so he's actually a plausible play. I've got a C grade on him here, but the Patriots totally shut down Deshaun Watson last week, and I don't love any of his receiver matchups. Keelan Cole barely gets a C grade because he goes up against their best cornerback, Stephon Gilmore. And really, just because he's the only plausible receiver they've got, I'm not starting Dante Moncrief. Not starting Austin Seferian-Jenkins. The Patriots were excellent against tight ends last year and last week, so I don't like any of them. Let's go to our next matchup. Lions taking on the 49ers. Lions couldn't have looked more dreadful, and Matthew Stafford in particular. Do you like him any better here, Scott?
I do. I think it was more of an anomaly. I know he's looked bad in the preseason and bad last week, but I think he rebounds this week. 49ers were bottom third in the league against quarterbacks last year. Cousins had an okay outing last week. Stafford probably should fall behind in this game and try to catch up. I'm not I'm not among the people that think he's going to throw 3-4 interceptions again.
Right? All right.
Golden Tate, B grade for Stafford, which might be a little high, but Tate, solid A grade. He had 15 targets last week, and Thielen crushed them, San Francisco, from the slot last week.
Yep.
Marvin Jones, C grade. He had 8 targets last week. I don't know that he's going to get there this week, but as the third wide receiver on the team, he might be able to get just enough in garbage time to make that C grade. Kenny Golladay, A grade.
Of course.
Because he's the best wide receiver on the... I just love Kenny Golladay. He played 93% of the team's offensive snaps. 52 routes run, second in the NFL. 12 targets. That's 16.3 yards per carry, yards per reception. That's huge. He's going to score this week. Riddick, pass catching backs are good against the 49ers. They're bottom 10 last week in that. So I'm giving Riddick a C grade. Over to the 49ers side, Garoppolo... B grade. He's averaging almost exactly 300 yards per game in his 6 starts. Only 7 touchdowns and 8 interceptions, but I think those are going to come eventually. He looks like a pro, so I'm giving him B grade here. C grade for Gerson, who led the San Francisco skill players in snaps last week. Didn't do a lot with it, but it's coming. Dante Pettis was my take-home. George Kittle. He should have had 150 yards and a touchdown last week. He's got an A grade for me. He's been lights out, averaging 18 yards per catch. Lights out with Garoppolo. I give him an A grade. And Morrison Breda in the running game, I can see them doing what Crowell and Powell did last week. They sopped up 162 yards and 2 scores.
Mm-hmm.
The Lions, bad against pass catching backs. That's good for Breda. Morris is the goal line back, actually tied for the league lead in NFL with carries inside the 5. That's good for him. I can see a similar thing. C grades for both of them.
All right, let's move on. Giants taking on the Cowboys. Matt.
It's the usual suspects in this game that you're going to start, and you're not going to start anybody else. Ezekiel Elliott, the easy A grade with a 20-touch guaranteed, and the Giants allowed 130 to running backs last week. Dak Prescott in the passing game, they're all on the bench.
Yep.
Dak finished with less than 200 yards in 8 of his last 11 games. He has no help from his pass catchers. And even Cole Beasley, who did lead the team in targets and topped 50 yards for the second time in 22 games.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not playing him either. Over to the Giants side, Saquon Barkley is an easy A. He's the most bankable Giants player, I think, for maybe the whole year. On to the passing game, Eli Manning. Dave Sinekin talked about this in the last show. He said Eli Manning owns the Cowboys. Well, that's not true. He's not topped 228 yards against the Cowboys in the last 6 meetings and only has 5 touchdowns in that 6-game span.
Mm.
Eli Manning's on the bench, but I'm still giving Odell Beckham an A. 15 targets and 11 receptions last week, and they moved him around the field to avoid Jalen Ramsey. He had 36% of his routes from the slot. That's triple what he did under Ben McAdoo. His last 100-yard game versus Dallas, though, was November of 2014. I think he's got a shot to break that this time, though. And Evan Engram's the only other starter. I just gave him a C grade. I'm concerned that Engram only had 5 targets while Beckham had 15.
Yeah.
Remember that most of Engram's production last year came as a result of Odell being gone. So Dallas is a middle-of-the-road opponent, but you drafted Engram to be your starting tight end, and you got to start him with a C. Sterling Shepard's on the bench, though.
Seahawks take on the Bears, our final matchup. And for the Seahawks, there's only 2 starters, really. Chris Carson ran for 7 yards per carry in week 1, and then he fumbled, and Pete Carroll decided to make a statement, and he put in bulbous rookie Rashad Penny, who got 1 yard per carry. So, you know, whatever message he was trying to make, I think the message I got was that Chris Carson's really good and Rashad Penny's really bad. We'll continue to start Carson here with a B grade. Chicago's a good run defense, though, and this is not an easy matchup, and they could fall behind. Russell Wilson gets a C grade. The Bears are the only defense in the NFL to finish in the top 10 of all of these stats, each of which is salient to Russell Wilson's game last year. Passing yards allowed, passing touchdowns allowed, rushing yards by quarterbacks, quarterback rushing touchdowns. They were top 10 in all of those. All of that works against Russell Wilson here. I don't like any of his receiver matchups, and the tight end position is a void. So, Russell Wilson, just a C grade here. Tyler Lockett, I'm tempted to play him, maybe, but he's got maybe their best matchup against Bryce Callahan. C grade. I'll give him a C grade. That's it. Let's go to Chicago side. Love Jordan Howard. The Seattle just let Royce Freeman and Philip Lindsay rack up 142 rushing yards, and he played 71% of the snaps in the opener. He is an A grade. And I even give it a C grade to Tariq Cohen as well. Seattle, great against receiving backs last year, but there's a totally different defense. And Philip Lindsay was good in the air against Seattle last week. He had 8 touches last week. Cohen did. And that's the problem. I guess Cohen is you only get the 8-ish touches, but a C grade for him here too. From a passing standpoint, I actually like Mitch Trubisky here. I'm giving him a C grade and a bounce back effort, and I'm predicting a 2-touchdown game. For Mitch Trubisky.
For Sad Trombonski?
Sad Trombonski. I think he bounces back nicely here because he's got nice matchups all over the field, including Allen Robinson. Seattle's playing an out-of-position safety, a cornerback named Trey Flowers. His first ever history of his life game at cornerback happened last week, and Denver abused him all over the field. Robinson lines up all over the field. He'll find him regularly. So will Taylor Gabriel, who will actually line up against him the most based on what we saw in week one. He's a dart throw as well, and I like Trey Burton. He finished week one with just 1 catch. I know that. He was ignored wide open in the end zone. I know that as well. The 6 targets, though, were encouraging, and he's got a positive matchup against pedestrian strong safety Bradley McDougald. I still think Trey Burton can lead the Bears in total receptions this year. It's going to be a very abbreviated lightning round.
Sorry.
I'm very patient for everybody's, very grateful for everybody's patience. 1 question between 2 players. Ben's been on hold for 2 hours. Thank you, Ben.
Wow.
Love you guys again, 2018.
Thank you.
Quick question. Let's do it this way. Mike Williams or any of the receiving corp to the Niners?
I like that. It's a little sneaky.
I still think it's Mike Williams. I love Pettis this week, but I'm still going Mike Williams.
Michael, you're next.
For an IR spot, or a Foreman of Houston, Henry of San Diego, McGuire.
1 question between 2 players. Mike, you're next.
PPR league, Tevin Coleman or Yeldon?
Okay.
Tevin Coleman, not easy. Close.
Yep. Coleman.
Freeman out for anybody who hasn't heard the news on that. Mike, you are next. Mike? Oh. Tom, hello.
Hello, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. Love the show. Standard scoring. I have Davante Adams and Quincy Enunwa.
Enunwa.
Pick 1. Thank you.
I am going to take Adams, assuming that Rodgers starts in standard scoring. John, you're our final caller in this very abbreviated version.
All right. Thank you. Cooper Kupp or Marvin Jones Jr.?
Cooper Kupp for me. He's such a red zone beast. He's going to score again.
Yeah, I think so too.
We'll answer more lightning round questions on Twitter.
Yeah, and all my player rankings answer all of these, and they're available for free at fanball.com. Yeah. You can get all my player rankings and explanations, and that answers most of your who do I start questions. Thanks, everybody. If you missed any part of the show, check out the podcast, KFAN Fan on Demand, also on iTunes. Bye-bye.
This afternoon at 2:30, the Minnesota Gophers host Miami of Ohio on the radio home of the Gophers. FM 100.3 KFAN, The Fan.